Hello there. We're Vince and Elliot McNally.
Yes, the great-great-grandsons of map-making mogul Rand McNally.
And we'll be your hosts and tour guides on a trip across America, one small town at a time.
In the spirit of our great-great-grandfather, we're traveling the country writing the family's first almanac in over 50 years. Towns and Country, the McNally Brothers' comprehensive guide to small-town America.
Each week we'll be in a new town, and after getting to know the place and the people, we'll tell you, the listener, all there is to know.
In a show we call These Parts, a podcast putting towns on the map. Hey listeners, this is Elliot and Vince McNally, welcoming you to another episode of These Parts. How's it going, Vince?
It's going just great. We're in one of my favorite states in the Union, Elliot.
Mine too. It was Rand's, one of his top favorite states as well, right in the heart of the Midwest. And Vince, while we're here, we are still toiling, planning RandCon. Do you have any updates that you want to share?
I would love to give a word of apology to those who ordered the pre-order VIP RandCon experience tickets. The idea was you would be let into the convention hall 30 seconds before anyone else. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to have to reduce that to 15 seconds.
Exactly. We are also, just to make up for this, if you go online now, we'll send you a free cardboard Google Glass. We don't know what that is yet, but we will send them to you, and hopefully we can do something with the experience when you're there.
Exactly. And if you did order a pre-VIP experience at RandCon, go ahead and email us. We'll give you a $5 refund on your $375 ticket. And I think you should still be happy with your purchase.
Yeah, but we're getting down to the wire here, guys. If you are coming to RandCon, which we hope you are, we hope to see you there, it's imminent and we are so excited, but almost not excited as we are to be in the town we're in today.
Yeah, that excitement can wait. Today we're in a town that demands our full attention, Elliot.
And it's a town, Vince, I think we should put on the map. So listeners at home, take out your comprehensive Rand McNally U.S. wall maps and your commemorative pushpins, and get ready to stick a pin in Chalmers Lake, Minnesota. Before we do, though, we have a guest with us to help us do so. Chalmers Lake is actually centered around Minnesota's 10,001st lake. And you might be thinking to yourself, well, there's 10,000 lakes in Minnesota. Well, it's actually not true. And our guest would actually want to prove that otherwise. He's actually trying to knock the 10,000th lake off its standing because the rest of the towns in Minnesota don't actually acknowledge this town exists. Would you care to introduce yourself?
Hello, yes, my name is Chalmers Radiston.
Chalmers, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Yeah, of course, thank you for having me, and let me be clear right up front, I am not trying to knock the 10,000th lake as it is now off of the map. I'm just trying to simply swap places with it so that us in Chalmers Lake become the 10,000th lake, and then those up in Delano, they have the 10,001st lake, and maybe they just get a little... Yes, I am trying to knock them off the map. I apologize.
So in your ideal world, Delano would just be the 10,001st lake, or they would not exist at all?
Well, because Delano's got a bunch of lakes, actually. They got... They got 8789, 8,789th lake, 9,235th. You know, just the manner, the order in which they were discovered, it's kind of all over the place. But they hit, you know, they got number 10,000. But it all comes down to zoning, doesn't it? When you think about it.
Yeah. It's all political.
It's all political. Sure. It's all red tape. It's just the bureaucrats got their hands in every pot. And, you know, I had two choices when I was born. I could go with my Radisson line, my lineage, because the money's there. Everybody goes to those hotels.
Oh, you're of the Radissons.
Yep. And, you know, I could have gone that, but it just seemed a little too easy. It seemed like the course that was made for me. And I wanted to honor my first name, which was, oddly enough, my grandfather's first name. I know that doesn't happen a lot. And so I decided to take the path a little less traveled and, you know, start anew. And it just so happened that Delano got there right before me. I didn't even realize that that was what I was going for, was to have the 10,000th lake. But, you know, the second that I didn't get it, I really wanted it. And so it's become my life goal since then.
So when did you establish this town?
64.
Interesting. So Delano was right there ahead of you.
June 64 was when they discovered the 10,000th lake in Delano, and July 64 was when I got my piece of paper saying that my name has become a sovereign nation in northeastern Minnesota.
So close.
I know. So close. Right? I can taste it. I've been able to taste it for the better part of 50 years.
Well, Chalmers Lake is very real to us. Could you throw a pin right up there in northeastern Minnesota for us?
Let me reach on up. There, tossed it in.
Elliot, why did you hang the map on the ceiling today?
We're in the land of the north. I just thought it would be fitting if we had it almost on the ceiling of the RV today. Wait,
and you know, guys, I understand. I like knowing where I like remembering where I came from right as I dwindle off to sleep, so I understand.
Thank you. And so Delano cut you right off before you were able to establish the town. Are the rest of the people of Chalmers behind you on this, of knocking them off their standing, or are they happy where they are as 10,001?
What do you mean, rest of the people?
Oh, there are no other citizens of Chalmers Lake.
I mean, last I checked, it was just me and Parker.
Is that a dog or something?
No, he's a cat.
So, a population of two. I was going to mention, Elliot, the town looks a little empty. Mm-hmm. We have a couple of, there's a couple of shanties down by the lake in question. Not a very large lake, I'll say that for it. And then, of course, your house, which is a quaint little cabin that we're recording from today. We had to park our RV kind of on the docks.
Again, yes, sorry about that. Path less traveled. I kind of leaned into it, and I'm a bit off of the road, yes. I'm about 5-6 miles off of any paved road.
Yeah, there are no roads around here. That's what I noticed. I noticed that most of the buildings around town, it seems like you've done a good job filling it out, but it's just a facade. They're just standees with a building painted on the front of them.
Right, it was interesting. So, when you're coming from the Radisson family, your life is all planned out for you. As I said, hotel chain and whatnot. We've all heard of it. There's no point talking about it here. I go off and do my own thing, but I don't want to feel so... So I'm of two minds about it, because I want to be secluded, but I don't want to be that guy that's secluded. So I went and secluded myself, and then I kind of just built a fake town around me, centered, hinging on the lake, if you will, and just kind of went from there. Parker, be quiet.
Certainly explains why when we went to get our oil changed in the outskirts of town, a cat was the only employee currently working.
Oh, yeah, that's Parker. He'll fix the hell out of your car.
That's interesting, because I went to a restaurant, and it seemed, looking at Parker now sitting next to you, it seemed like it was Parker, but just in a different costume at the restaurant.
Well, he has a couple different jobs. He's the sheriff. He's also the mayor. He runs the local diner, Parker's Pancakes. He... is the mechanic shop. What else does he do? He's a postman.
That's one busy feline.
Well, I'm all caught up in this lake hubbub. You know, I don't got a lot of time to reach out and do other stuff. So
that's a full-time job right there.
He's my jack of all trades.
That's just heartwarming. And it's stories like these that give you insight into how small town America really works. Elliot, let's dive right into this lake and join our next segment.
Friend. Or folk.
Also, before we start, I apologize for interrupting. I do not recommend diving into the lake. It maxes out at about 4.5 feet deep. You may hurt yourself.
Thanks for that. Let's explore some more interesting things about Chalmers Lake in Friend or Folk.
So, listeners, Friend or Folk is a segment that we break out when we have a particularly interesting town centered around folklore. Somewhat like local legends, we investigate the folklore of a town, but we also work with the town's historical society to bust the myth of if the folklore is real or if it's fake. So Chalmers, there's definitely been sort of a swirling story around Chalmers Lake, and that I've been reading about a kind of a curious character that no one is sure if they exist or not. Can you kind of tell us about this?
Right, yes. There's Mr. McGraw. There's two people here, mostly that is the mythology. It's Mr. and Mrs. McGraw. They're a local couple. They are said to have been living in Chalmers long before I moved there. My name is Chalmers, so I don't really see how that adds up. And they are known to some as helpful, kind of benevolent forces, you know, small town, busybodies, but they're not mean. But then other people say they're a lot more malevolent than that. And they, you know, it still doesn't kind of escalate higher than many, like, small town pranks. But, you know, you got your bags of poo on your front door, maybe like a screwdriver in your back tire, stuff like that. So depending on who you ask, they're kind of just like catch-all ghosts. that are either good or bad.
Just your kind of run-of-the-mill ghost.
Exactly.
So clarify this for me. I don't mean to get down into the weeds, Chalmers, but...
Sometimes you gotta.
Being that you're the only citizen, wouldn't you be the source of these rumors?
Well, that's the thing. I did write their entire mythology.
So it's a little less up in the air than our typical Friend or Folk segment, being that you created these characters.
Well, that's the thing, though, is where does my art end and their legacy begin? You know, it's like, when are they out of my hands? Like, sure, when I wrote here, and it was just, when I first moved to Chalmers Lake, and it was just me and Parker, I didn't have a lot of time. Like, I was really bored. You know, this whole starting a city thing was not really going as planned. So I finally started to write that novel, you know, because what else am I going to do? And these two characters kind of came out of it, this Mr. and Mrs. McGraw type, this kind of like kept to themselves, but are they good? Are they bad? Just sort of mysterious. Lost the manuscript. Parker scratched all the shit, so I threw it away, you know. I couldn't see the point in it. And then, I'm starting to wonder how that makes any sense because I am the only person here.
Yeah, and I also, we usually work with the Town Historical Society, as I said.
And again, it's just Parker.
Yeah, it's just Parker. So I had an email correspondence with Parker, and I was assuming that they were going to be a person who actually worked at the Historical Society with this. Yeah.
Not the best at email correspondence, but he does answer a phone call. So just for future reference, you know, now that I'm thinking about it out loud, I guess they're probably. Could I write something that comes to life? Is that a thing?
Maybe. I think so.
Could you write it and then it becomes real? Is that the question at hand?
I mean, yeah, I'm wondering if I have like a magic pen or something, or maybe the typewriter. I don't know. I'm sorry. I probably should have thought about this a little bit better.
No, but a lot of things in folklore become conflated with reality, as we know. And this Mr. and Mrs. McGraw may be what you think through your magic pen or magic typewriter or what have you have come to life. But maybe, are there any people in Delano that are out to get you for trying to knock their standing off?
I'm trying to think. Well, you know, the mayor of Delano, let's see what's... Dennis McGraw, I think, is his name.
Well, yeah, I'm starting to get a vibe of art imitating life, Chalmers.
Oh, interesting. How so?
Being that your fictional boogeyman is named McGraw, and then the mayor of that town is also named McGraw.
Oh, no, Vince, I know what you're saying. No. It's not that. It's phonetically, I like the sound of McGraw. But But past that, the character is a stone's throw. No, not a stone's throw. Very far from the actual McGraw.
A very farly thrown stone.
A very good stone's throw right into the middle of the 10,000th lake, Chalmers Lake in Minnesota. Lands right there in that crisp, clean water. And it's so far away from the real person, McGraw.
So you've thrown a stone out our window just to prove your point. And
you've thrown it through the window, unfortunately. The window is closed.
That's an unfortunate. We have glass everywhere now. You might want to pick up Parker. But also, I can still see the stone in the middle of the lake, which seems to be only inches deep.
Yeah, there's four and a half feet. There's a couple spots where it gets that deep. It is mostly about 8-10 inches, though.
So maybe we should work with Parker here and our listeners at home who've been pulling... it's about 50-50 who say it's either friend or folk. And do you want to do the honors and tell us if Mr. McGraw is in fact real or not?
I suppose it could really be both. Subconsciously, I bet they are real. I bet to some degree I am basing these horrifically mean and not understanding characters after the mayor of the town, which with I am in a current heated rivalry. But at the same time, I'd like to think that I'm not that petty, even on a subconscious level. So can I say both? Because otherwise, I guess I'd have to say friend. No, folk. I'm sorry, I don't think I understand this game.
I think we can do that, Vince.
You understand it just fine, sir. Let's put a pin in it and call it folk, since, you know, you did admit to creating him.
Sounds good to me. Mind if Parker puts the pin in this time?
Not at all. Yeah, let's open up our friend or folk binder here.
Our new today friend or folk binder.
Yeah, this is the only page in it so far, but Parker, if you're okay with pins, you can stick that pin right in on the folk side of the two columns I've made.
Oh, he's actually very dexterous for a cat, it must be said.
It's crazy, you should see him with a guitar, man.
Yeah, he shreds, I've heard.
What an enlightening episode. It cleared up questions, and then it created some more questions, and then it failed to clear those up. But maybe we could dig into our mailbag and come up with a couple of questions from a different variety.
In a segment called Wouldn't You Like to Know?
So listeners, Wouldn't You Like to Know is your weekly opportunity to write in to the show with your questions, queries, and inquisitions about what goes on in the towns we're visiting firsthand. Each and every week we have time to read three. This week is no different. Elliot, why don't you read the first one for us?
Okay, this one is from Arturo in Galveston, Texas.
Thanks for writing, Arturo.
Arturo says, I love coming up to Minnesota because of all the lakes. Well, don't we all, Arturo? He says, in Texas, I don't get the opportunity to do too many water sports, and that's why I love all the lakes in Minnesota. What types of water sports can you do in Chalmers Lake?
What types of water sports can you do in Chalmers Lake? Well, we definitely got a ski.
The singular ski?
You got a ski, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, so far.
So is it like a slalom ski? Or is it just...
It's a water ski. It's a single water ski. I don't know if that qualifies in and of itself as a sport. We, you know, I've been real preoccupied in this whole lake red tape BS and whatnot. So I haven't really had the time to kind of like clear out the attic and see what's up there. I found the single ski. There's a rowboat down by the lake. So I don't know, maybe we wrangle those two things together, got like a single ski rowboat kind of sport going on. I don't know if that's a thing.
So you've brought the ski out. This is a 2x4 that you've written O'Neill on.
Yeah, it's one of the best brands.
It's clearly just a piece of lumber that...
Well, you know, if you guys were more Quicksilver people, maybe you should have said that before we started this whole thing.
I've always been kind of a Billabong guy, but...
we didn't mean to interrupt you. Please continue.
So you're thinking, though, if you took this ski, took the rowboat out, you might be able to do some sort of aqua sports.
Right. I'm not going to guarantee that it's going to be high octane, but I've been on the rowboat. Parker knows how to paddle that thing in some really weird ways. He might not get going too fast, but he's got figure eights. I saw him do a yin-yang symbol once with, like, the swirly thing in the middle of the circle. He'll throw you for a loop for sure, so.
You know, when I was walking the beachhead, I did notice a tiny wakeboard with four little foot straps. Is Parker himself a bit of an X Games athlete?
He does that on his own time. Yeah, he is trying to qualify for the X Games when it does come down to Minneapolis next summer. Again, man, red tape, theme of the episode. They are not happy with the fact that he is a cap, but he's not going to let that stop him. We got 9 Air Bud movies to show you that it can be done. So, Parker wakeboards, I kind of hang out on that O'Neill 2x4 kind of... wakeboard behind the rowboat.
Nice, yeah.
You saw me throw a stone in the lake earlier. That is a fun thing.
Stone skipping. I didn't actually see it skip. I don't know if it counts if it skips on the ground.
The water is actually buoyant to the point where anything that touches it immediately kind of drops to the bottom. So yeah, that doesn't really work.
It seems like that would make 2x4 rafting really a difficult proposition.
Exactly. Well, that's kind of how you compensate for the fact that you're not going too fast. That water is actively trying to sink you at every moment.
Fascinating. What a great question. Highly interesting.
Thanks, Arturo. Hope to see you in Chalmers Lake. I got a spare bedroom. Parker is currently sleeping in it, but I'm hoping to build him a cat bed soon so maybe we can fit you in here in the next couple months. And that's the kind of hospitality you're not going to find in Delano, because they got other people to focus about, and it's just me.
Yeah, they have a whole community to support.
They have things to do to worry about.
Exactly.
Yeah, just from what you said, I feel like if you're a visitor in Delano, you're not going to get the same amount of respect that you are in Chalmers Lake.
Right, yeah, you're not a visitor in Chalmers Lake, you're a plus one.
And with that, Vince, do you have the next question for us?
I surely do. This one comes from Susanna in Little Rock, Arkansas.
And what does Susanna have to say today?
Hi, Susanna.
Susanna writes, you guys are lucky to be sharing an afternoon with one of the finest directors in the history of American film.
Wow.
Chalmers, are you holding out on us? This is... allow me to finish reading. Susanna goes on to write, not only is Chalmers Lake a picturesque setting, one of America's great thrillers, but the film, by necessity, was created, written, directed, and starred in by the town's lone resident. Truly, Chalmers Lake is historical in its contribution to cinema. I hope you guys can find a few minutes to talk about Deliverance, the movie.
It seems like Susanna's a little bit mistaken.
It wasn't me. I am but a boring hotel chain heir. Parker, again, is the auteur, and, you know, he came up here a couple decades ago to scout location. Him and I have been together since, goddamn, I can't even remember. he came up here in the early 70s, and, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know, it sparked something in him, and he holed himself up in the home that is now mine, and, you know, he banged out that script overnight, and Lord knows how that thing got around in Hollywood as quick as it did, but he got the cast together, and he shot it, you know, it was a nice little weekend shoot, and it's turned into a pretty famous movie. And, yeah, most of the letters I get are Deliverance-based, mostly to Parker.
Well, Parker's pretty good. He's kept in touch with John Voight over the years, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's kept in touch with John Voight. Voight promises he's going to come up and, you know, drive the rowboat around, let me kind of 2x4 wakeboard behind him one of these days. But, you know, he's busy. He's, what, Angelina Jolie's father. He's got a lot going on.
So here we have it, folks. Parker the Cat wrote these scripts.
Parker the Cat, not only over 40 years old as a cat.
In human minimum, years.
In human years. But also a creative force behind one of America's greatest Southern-themed thrillers.
I would say that usually events the towns we're in have a rather tenuous tie to the film Deliverance.
It's becoming a kind of a strange coincidence that every town that we visit inexplicably has a tangential relationship to that movie.
And just so you know, don't let Parker hear you saying one of the greatest Southern thrillers of all time, because he's not a snob, but he's confident in the film he's made.
You know, you should have pride in your work. No one can fault him that.
And Chalmers, do you have the last question for us?
Yeah, absolutely. So this letter is from Max F. from Huntington Beach, California.
Thanks for writing, Max.
Yeah, thanks, Max. This letter writes, "Hello, Chalmers. Why don't you and Parker make the smart move and follow your family's hotel legacy into an endless stack of riches? Thanks, Max F."
It's written on Radisson Stationery.
So half the letters I get are fan letters to Parker because, you know, Deliverance has that following that's never going to go away. The other half is people somehow finding track of me and basically telling me to go back into the hotel business. I don't know if it's insulting, but it's annoying because, you know, imagine if you weren't good at much and your family was, like, you were just born into success. Would you just follow that? I'm asking you.
Well, being McNally's.
Being that we're doing precisely that, Elliot.
I don't know what that means.
But you, the map making mogul, Rand McNally, are you familiar with his maps? Atlas's almanacs?
Did you use a map to track down where you would have Chalmers Lake?
You know, I drove till the gas ran out.
Your truck is still parked as the front gate to the city.
Well, I haven't found a station yet.
Do you feel insulted by this? Or I think it's pretty amazing that your family is still willing to take you in, even though you've denounced them so much. Usually, I feel like it's the other way around.
Right. You know, I guess I'm trying hard to not denounce them, but more what they stand for. I feel like the hotel game is a little bit manipulative and luxurious to a fault. And, I don't know, just... It hurts that people aren't willing to let me go out and make my own mistakes.
Well, what would you classify this as?
Well, what would you guys classify this as?
anything but a mistake.
You don't think I'm having a tough time, man? My cat has out-accomplished me in every major field. For fun, I stand on a 2x4 behind a rowboat driven by said cat. I know John Voight's not coming. I'm not crazy.
No, John, he'll come. He's just busy. He's busy, Chalmers.
Is it true that your father, Gerald Radisson, has tried multiple times to actually adopt Parker into the family?
He's gone above me to Parker. He's offered to just take Parker, but that discussion has always involved points on the Deliverance back end, and so they were never able to really reach a conclusion. I don't know. I mean, Daddy sends people over every couple months or so to try and talk some sense into me, but I'm just not having it, and you know what? Those people end up in the lake.
Yeah, we can actually see that. We can see a man standing in the lake. He's kind of got a perplexed expression.
His car's coming. Don't worry. He's right on the way.
What would you say if your father offered to build a Radisson right here in Chalmers Lake and try and stimulate the economy?
I feel like I'm doing a pretty good job.
I guess you're right. You know, hotels are often impersonal, but if you're going to come to Chalmers Lake and have Parker as your roommate and be a plus one, there's something to be said in that too.
Exactly. I don't need a concierge here to tell y'all what you can do and what you can't do. Here's what you can't do. Most stuff. Here's what you can do. Wakeboard on a piece of wood behind a rowboat. So I'm not going to pay somebody $15 an hour. Also, really, $15 an hour minimum wage, but that's a different podcast. And I just don't see the need when I'm doing just fine on my own, despite what Daddy may think.
valid argument.
Thanks for answering that question. I know it got a little personal there, Chalmers.
The best podcast do. Sorry if I made it weird.
No, not at all. Not at all. You've opened up to us. And, you know, that's the greatest gift that you can give us as hosts. Speaking of which, though, Elliot, we have a very interesting segment coming up now.
That's very true, Vince, and it's one we call Say What.
So, listeners, Say What is our weekly dive into the lexicon, the lingo, the language of the places that we're visiting. When you're going to a new town in America, you want to know how to fit in, how to not seem like an outsider, and often the words and phrases that are common there are the way to do that. So, Chalmers, what sort of phrases are endemic here in Chalmers Lake?
Man, let me see here. Park or get?
Yeah, that's true. Being that you are the only resident, it's just sort of going to be phrases that you often say yourself.
Yeah, it's mostly just me. I say, come on, talk to me, to a lot of the mannequins that I've got propped up throughout town.
I've noticed that a lot of the mannequins around town posed in different positions, you know, just as people would be walking around town, have the stamp Delano, Minnesota on them. Have you been taking these from Delano?
Right. So in a senior year homecoming-esque prank, I have been going over to Delano during the night. I stole a live pig that was their mascot. I robbed their local athletics store and stole some local merchandise, put those on the mannequins in Chalmers Lake, and then kind of bent the mannequins around to being, like, funny, like maybe they're farting or something. And so, yeah, the mannequins, to kind of extend the rivalry, you know, keep it alive over here in Chalmers, because it is hard. I am the only living person. I just kind of put Delano stuff on all the mannequins, and that provides a little bit of a fun and fighting I can get into as I'm going around town.
So you actually get in fights with these mannequins?
I mean, I don't know if it's necessarily fair to call them fights when they are so one-sided.
In favor, of course, of the mannequins.
Well, yeah, I mean, the best offense is a good defense. You don't say anything at all. I am going to get very frustrated, and I will leave.
I hear they can take a punch pretty well, too.
They can take a punch pretty well. I have knocked a couple of arms off, but they stayed standing and stoic, and that just made me furious. You know, nothing angers a man like punching somebody's arm off, but they don't go down.
That sounds like a true test of your constitution.
That's a real thorn in my side. So yeah, let's see. Parker, get, come on, talk to me. Ow, damn it! I say that a lot when I kick the truck. I'm trying to push the truck out of that blocking that driveway, but I can't get that thing to move. Got my ankles wet again. I say that whenever I go in the lake.
Yeah, I was going to say that usually Vince and I populate this segment with different phrases that we hear throughout the week. And being that we've just kind of been on our own this week and heard you in the distance.
Oh, shit, I suppose it would have mostly been for me then, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Yep, so we've really only heard you.
So I think, Elliot, why don't you go first? Do you have any favorite phrases that you've heard that you kind of want an explanation for?
Well, actually, I was interested in something else, Vince. Usually we talk about different words and phrases in a different town and say what, but what Minnesota is very famous for is its prosody, its sort of tonality of speech, and that famous phenomenon of Minnesota nice. Right, so a lot of people in Minnesota are deemed as passive-aggressive when they talk. So I was hoping that Chalmers could tell us different phrases that he construes as passive-aggressive that other people may not get the hint.
Let's see here. Nice lake, Chalmers.
Is that what people from Delano usually say
to you? That's what people from Delano and, by association, the mannequins usually say to me.
I did see, yeah, it was strange. I saw the speech bubbles sort of taped up, propped against the mannequins that said "Nice Lake, Chalmers." And so, forgive me if I'm diving too deep into it, but that seems a little self-abusive.
It might not be the most convenient way to live, no. But every day I learn a lesson. That's for sure. I kind of exist in this world of passive aggression because it is a real conflict of interest. What with Delano being the county seat and everything, I do have to deal with them almost daily. So I do go into town whenever I need anything, and they don't really view me as a city. And so it's a lot of passive aggression, like, oh, here comes that one man that thinks he's a town or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm paraphrasing here. They're usually a little more quippy. But yeah, I deal with that pretty much daily with everybody that lives over there. They're always, they're never saying what they're saying, but they're always saying something mean, if you know what I'm saying.
Well, that certainly sounds like the Midwest for you. I did want to get clarification on one phrase, if you could call it a phrase. It's endemic, I think, to Chalmers. Like, I haven't heard it anywhere else. And that's softly sobbing deep into the night.
Softly sobbing deep into the night.
Yeah, I heard that a couple evenings, and I'm wondering if it has any significant meaning to the town. Is it code word for something?
Okay, well, you know what? We're already in, so let's get a little deeper. Why not? Softly sobbing deep into the night is the verbiage that Parker uses to describe the noises that I make as I prepare for sleep. So Parker is working, and, you know, keep this on the DL, he is working on a spiritual sequel to Deliverance. So, you know, different characters, same kind of thing. Dazed and Confused did it, so he's kind of riding that Linklater wave. Every night, as the gravitas of my personal failure seeps in, as it does every night, I sit and, you know, I begin to weep quietly to myself, as I do with everything in my life, to myself. And Parker and I were going over kind of the outline for the movie the next day, and he's like, "What was that thing that you were doing last night?" And I was like, "What are you talking about?" He's like, "You were like softly sobbing deep into the night." And I said, I don't think so. I mean, I might have teared up a little bit, but I don't know if I'd say I softly sob. Hey, Parker, not right now. Stop it. Okay. You know, he just kind of heard that and ran with it, even though I disagreed with that being how I would describe the noises I was making. He kind of just took that and went with it. And so every time I maybe pass him on through the house, I walk past him, or, you know, I fall off the block of wood in the lake, he will just kind of say softly sobbing deep in the night under his breath to himself. And I'm sure that's what you heard.
And that goes back with our tonality, our passive aggressive tone in Minnesota towns. And I think, if anything, Parker's reputation definitely precedes himself as taking the failings of one person and making them poetic.
Right, yeah, and Parker's always been a bit of a mean girl, and that becomes magnified when you are the only other person that lives in the town.
Is Parker a plastic?
He doesn't actually affiliate with any group, but I would say personally, his personality aligns with the plastics, yes.
He's more of a Regina than anything else?
I'm more of an Amanda Seyfried, although I can't remember what her character's name was.
No one can.
Well, thanks for that. I definitely know more about not only the town, but your own personal demons than I expected to at the beginning of this segment. Maybe we could dive into some more lighthearted and lighter-sized facts in a segment we call Did You Know?
So Did You Know is our weekly fast-firing fact segment, firing five facts at you, the listener, from Vince and I, and our guest from whatever town we're in. Guys, I've got the first one.
I'm all ears, Elliot.
Let's hear it.
So, did you guys know that aside from, hopefully, John Voight, there's also another Hollywood star that makes his way up to Chalmers Lake every so often?
Shut up.
That sounds pretty unbelievable given the pretense to this episode, but please, continue.
It seemed unbelievable to me as well until I actually saw the town. So, of course, there's no sanitary services in Chalmers Lake, so there's a lot of garbage, which attracts wolves, which attracts Liam Neeson. And Liam Neeson actually was method acting in preparation for his role in The Gray.
That was him.
So you saw him.
How silly of me to just assume that that was somebody that looked like Liam Neeson.
It does explain that scene in The Gray where a man dressed in Chalmers Lake sweatshirt and Chalmers Lake sweatpants with a cat on his shoulder just kind of wanders aimlessly into the shot and then stares confusedly at the camera for 15 minutes.
Well, hang on now. That person could be anybody. Was that character holding a mannequin with a Delano Wolves t-shirt on it?
He was holding a mannequin with a Delano Wolves t-shirt, and his eyes were red and kind of moist as if he'd been crying for a long time.
Was that you, Chalmers?
I can only think of two or three other people that could possibly be.
I didn't mean to derail the fact. Well, that's supremely interesting. Liam Neeson, one of my favorite actors, so kudos to Chalmers Lake for that. But did you guys know that in the summer months, you, Mr. Chalmers, probably know this because it's about you, you have to run the hose into the lake to prevent it from drying up completely?
Yes, and that does rack up a bit of a water bill. But, you know, it's hard to jump up from 10,000 to first lake to 10,000th lake if the lake ain't got no water in it. So you got to do what you got to do. Yeah, simple as that.
That makes perfect sense. I know that the standings and what defines a lake changes often, but usually there's the one drop rule they talk about with lakes.
It has to have some amount of water in it.
Yep. They have to be able to trace a single water droplet.
Those egghead scientists can't let us have anything, can they?
Chalmers. Not my America.
And with that, Chalmers, do you have the next Did You Know fact for us?
Absolutely. Did you know that Chalmers Lake, Minnesota is the only town in the country where every person in town has seen all of Friday Night Lights?
I didn't know that, Chalmers. Out of curiosity, what is the town's stance on that program? Are they fans?
Texas Forever.
Did Parker have any hand in the either the movie or the TV series that followed it?
Parker was a creative consultant on the original book.
Interesting.
Yeah, so he has a lot of thoughts. He's tough to watch a movie with because, you know, if he's not falling asleep then waking up and being like, hey, who's that guy? He's constantly trying to find holes to cut in the plot. He needs something to be wrong with it. He's got kind of a god complex.
Well, and you mentioned that he shreds on the guitar, and Explosions in the Sky did the entire score for the film, and Explosions in the Sky's music has often been described by stoners as just a bunch of cats randomly pawing at different strings on the guitars for 30 minutes straight.
Yeah, Parker actually broke Explosions in the Sky. He was the A&R guy that found them. He watched them play a show at the Mercury Lounge out in Manhattan.
Parker's a well-traveled feline.
Wow.
Yeah, he's very nomadic. Lord knows how long he's going to be with me. I'm blessed for each day I get with him.
I didn't know that. Elliot, do you have another Did You Know fact for us?
It's going to be hard to top it, guys, but did you know that Chalmers Lake has the most undelivered packages right outside the town lines than any other town in Minnesota?
No, it did. We did see a large pile of parcels by the gasless truck, but I didn't put two and two together, Elliot.
I might need to go get the mail, actually, hearing you guys say that.
Have you gotten the mail once since your incorporation as a town?
I just assumed nobody could find me. Seems like the postal man keep getting stopped at the truck.
Yeah, it is kind of hard to get around in the muddy season. But what I noticed, these packages, I didn't open any because that's a federal offense, but a lot of them were from Radisson, and they almost seemed to be uniforms being sent to you, Chalmers, and maybe ignored.
Can I send a message to somebody on this podcast? Is that fine?
I think
we welcome it, yeah.
You can't buy me, Dad. That's it.
Well, that clears that up, I think.
Well, that's the end of that. I didn't know that, but did you guys know one mannequin in Chalmers Lake doesn't wear the customary athletic apparel with the butt blown out as if in a comic fart that most of them do?
That's Rita. She's not much of a sports fan.
No, indeed. Indeed, Rita is dressed like a Radisson Inn's employee. And strangely enough, there's smudged lipstick all over the face of this mannequin.
Right. She's a hot mess. She kind of leans into that. It's a badge of honor for her. But she runs the motel in town. And so, you know, I just thought it would kind of be a little bit of fun irony to have her run the motel in town, a town that I live in alone. I feel like I can't ever say that too many times. With the uniform of the hotel chain owned by my family.
So are you hoping that the poor Yelp reviews that you write yourself of this motel will start to conflict with the overall Radisson's reviews?
I wonder if it'll start to conflict. Right now, actually, on Yelp, though, the motel's doing really well. It's at about a 3.7. I'm more worried about the thrift store in town. That's really not getting very good reviews.
What do they sell at the thrift store?
You know, it's just
just your old clothes.
It's just me buying and selling my old things to myself. Sometimes Parker comes in.
I'm wondering why the Radisson Motel in town only has a 3.7 when it seems, just scrolling through here on my phone, it looks like you've written all of the reviews.
Right, well, they haven't gotten HBO yet, and I feel like that's just a thing that most hotels and motels should have as just a staple by now. And I know it might sound crazy to some that I'm doing all these Yelp reviews by myself, but I'm just trying to, you know, get the town ready for when people do start to show up, you know?
Sure. You want to have an objective. You don't want to go in with a 5-star rating. No one's going to believe you.
Exactly. And I don't want people to come into town and be like, okay, nobody's even been yelping. Because, you know these millennials, they can't follow a trail of shit without a Yelp review.
That's what we've always said. Well, thanks for clearing that up. And you know what? Thanks for taking the time out of your busy schedule as the only citizen of this town. Wish we would have known that before we agreed to come here. But that said, we think you've made an extremely good case for Chalmers Lake being Lake Number 10,000. Best of luck in your campaign.
Thank you. Yeah. So on November 8th, go out and vote to make, you know, we're still, I don't know if I'm on a ballot, but I just know I'm still figuring that out, just like everybody votes on that day, so just be ready.
Ready to vote if there is a vote on it.
Okay.
Right.
You don't know, there's no proposition number or nothing like that
you have access to. Not getting a lot of feedback from the guys over in Delano.
Well, guys, yeah, just be ready to vote. Make sure that we can make Chalmers Lake the 10,000th lake.
The lake that it's always deserved to be.
And with that, Chalmers, we hope you'll join us on our final segment, Wish You Were Here.
So listeners, in a perfect world, you would come with us on each and every one of our adventures, and we wouldn't have to be the second and third human beings alive in Chalmers Lake. But since that's not possible, well, the next best thing is an audio postcard from us to you. It goes a little something like this. Dear listeners, wish you were here in Chalmers Lake, Minnesota.
The 10,001st lake in Minnesota, eponymously named after its sole resident, Chalmers Radisson.
A town that will hopefully soon weasel its way into the 10,000th spot, much like it's weaseled its way into our hearts.
And hopefully, if Yelp has taught us anything, people will come flocking to unseat Delano, Minnesota from its 10,000th spot.
So if you're looking for a town with tenuous water sports, but a very impressive cat, Chalmers Lake is your destination.
Farewell from these parts to yours.
Hey listeners, thanks for joining us in Chalmers Lake, Minnesota. Hope you enjoyed our discussion with Chalmers, and I hope you join us next week when we're in Nontalk, Wisconsin.
Nontalk, Wisconsin is a once sleepy northern Wisconsin town that's now overrun by disgruntled indie musicians buying cabins and hunkering down to record their breakthrough eponymous albums. So come back, it's going to be very interesting.